You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Boom, Miss Rusty. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Public Access Podcast, the podcast now is in Pennsylvania, the podcast. Straight out of every kind of innuendo of name you can have for a township here in this area. So, yeah, so shout out to those towns. But thank you, everyone, for being here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. If you are listening to this and you want to know what me or maybe my guest looks like, or I don't know, maybe you're bored at staring at a blank screen, you can go to YouTube or Rumble and you can find the show on there, the Public Access Podcast. And if you're looking at this and you're like, fuck, I don't want to look at this guy's face, I want to punch him in the face, that's cool. Then you go to wherever you listen to podcasts and you find the Public Access Podcast because you know it has fucking good content and even better guests. And speaking of better guests, it's time for me to bring a guest back again. And my guest is my special guest right here and right now. And my special guest right here and right now is Scotty Mack. How are you doing? Thank you for being here.
Actually, I'm even better after watching the intro of your show, motherfucker. That's tremendous. Really, really good stuff.
Thank you. It's been used one time, and so I was happy to get to bust it out. I forgot. I didn't think I'd been able to use it.
Well, and then not to mention hypnosisisgreat.com that. You had me. I'm convinced hypnosis is great and I can stay at home in my bed and you've got a beautiful head of hair because when you recorded Hypnosis is Great, it was quite the opposite.
I'm new to long hair. So it's
you're killing it, man.
It's well, tremendous. So when I was in Minnesota, there's Minnesota Nice. And they told me where I grow hair, I can grow a lot of it, which was a nice way of telling me I'm pretty bald up top. So, but thank you, man. Yeah, I'm happy I get to have some of my stuff put in there just for a good way to kind of get the show going. And it kind of gets me pumped up getting to have my own music.
Mm-hmm. Me pumped up. If we were put together on a wrestling show, I would come out to the ring with you to that.
Okay, man. Okay. Now maybe my mind's going. Okay. That'd be cool.
I always said, I don't know how I let that man get away with having you ringside with him when you should have been with me.
It could have been. And it was, it was just like, because then by the time that you got back, that was like kind of I think the last one I went to was at, that was the last time I've been to Canada, was at the, at the Hard Rock in Vancouver. That was the last one time I was there. And yeah, just like timing, man. Now I have to get a renew the visa or renew the passport. I have to do that here soon.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
I got the 10-year one, so I think I still got a few years left if I remember. But my concept of time can be a little bit off.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But like when I started going up there, I had to get my visa or my passport renewed to start to go to up to Vancouver to do shows up there. And yes, and that was it'll be in February, it'll be 10 years ago. So it was sometime around then, yeah. And yeah, like okay, that went by. And but
That's for sure.
yeah. And so 'cause now you're wrestling like it did, you know, it's is it it's not you yours? Is it yours or is it kind of yours or where are you
Well,
where are you with your wrestling? Like where how is it like are you just along for the ride? Are you like still kind of
some
like
yeah, that's it's something like that because ECCW is still it's still registered. It's still I still have my business license in Vancouver, so at any point I could revive Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling if I chose to, and that's not never say never
yeah.
because
Okay.
ECCW is what I did with that like that was. I gave more to that than I did anything else in my life. I prioritized ECCW over everything for over 20 years, and so it's I'm good with like where we're at, but we've got Apex, Canadian Apex Wrestling, which I'm stoked about, and that's I'm a big part of Apex. It's not mine, but it's I'm in the role that I want to be at Apex, you know, like a leadership role in the locker room, and I got the pencil, and so yeah, Apex is satisfying the creative in me that I got out of the creative I was putting into ECCW, and then I'm working for Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling regularly. I have been for about a year and a half. They'll do two shows on a weekend. They'll do Nanaimo, Victoria, and then the following month, Duncan and Port Alberni. And they're great at VIPW because I enjoy the product. I enjoy the being on the shows and the talent that I work with, and they. Because I go way back with Cody and Matt used to call him Matt, the cremator and BJ Laredo. I go way back with those guys. So they know what I bring to the table. So when I have ideas and I tell them things I want to do, they're super, super open to that. Or even just suggestions on other things, I think in regards to the book and how shows are going. So it's I'm more than satisfied creatively with my role in wrestling lately, and you know I have options.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, it could go as long as you know you're doing what, you know, that spot you want to be at, you know,
Yeah, I'm 45 years old. So at this point, I'm still involved in pro wrestling because I love it. And it's I can't imagine my life without it. Like there's days where you know, you've got you know should where should it be on the priorities list at this point? But I'm Scotty Mack and it's really been the wrestling has been the nucleus, if you will, of just of my successes and even just my happiness and satisfaction over the years. It's so much of my identity, and Actually, speaking of identity, and you've been there, you've slept there, the Mac Mansion, as we called it for years, after over 20 years has come to an end, as we were talking over text. And it's
That's
crazy how much like I associated my identity even with that home. And, because it was such a big part of ECCW as well, because, we'd have talent like yourself come in from out of town, and wrestlers, all over the house. And
Yeah.
at one point,
Just
it was a lot of partying, chilled out a bit towards the end, but it was a big part of my life. And so leaving the house was just, it was a lot. It was more difficult than I anticipated.
And so, I mean, what do you think that means? Like the house, being, going, going into new people and I mean, with you just, haven't like we were talking about, like 20 years is long, like 20 years long for anything right now. Like, it's pretty crazy. And I
Especially
mean,
how fast things are changing these days. And it's
yeah.
I'm at this point because I'm in a new home, and I absolutely love it. I'm good with it. I'm finally am settled in, and I'm where I should be, and I'm ready for the next chapter, so to speak. And but it was difficult. It took finding a home that felt like home, and knowing where I'm headed, and being okay with such a gigantic change. Like it's, and obviously we've texted as well. I lost my tag team partner in December. And so that's a big change. And so then
Yeah.
to have to leave the house where there's all those memories for so long right after that, I think it compounded. So it was it, it's but just I'm in my hot comeback right now.
Yeah. And I mean, that's yeah, that's a hard one. Like that's a lot right there, right together. And fuck. Did I mean, I don't know. So then I it's always weird. It's always weird with any of, that much change that fast. And
And
what a world.
Dropkick's one of the only guys that love Saved by the Bell as much as us.
That I could that would be an interesting thing to so did you two watch it then? Did was that
Yeah,
a
oh, we
thing?
were it, that that was that was that was one of the things that we connected on right away. I don't know if I've told this story, but I've only complained in 24 years of wrestling. I've literally only bitched about doing the job twice in all that time. And I've usually had a pretty good amount of strokes, so it's like, and I've always got a pretty decent push, so it's not like when I was doing the job, I would, there was nothing to complain about. It was usually justified. It's, wrestling's a work, and so we really shouldn't be taking it so seriously if somebody tells us that it's time to lose tonight. But I had just won my first ECCW title. So I guess it would have been 2002, I guess. But at the time there was a book called One Ring Circus that came out. It was by a photographer named Brian Howell. And it was a look at independent wrestling, really artsy photos in there. It was a cool book. And so I had a few of my photos in there. And it was all ECCW.
For sure.
And there was a couple other prominent things going on with ECCW where there was like, spotlight on us. And so I just wasn't the champion that they needed at that time. Because they built me up, and I was in a program with the Black Dragon, and I went over the Black Dragon in a steel cage, and which was really cool for me because Brett Como was when I started with Can-Am Wrestling in Alberta a few years before that, and I watched the Can-Am show at the Cook County Saloon in Edmonton. The Black Dragon was the dude that really stood out to me, and so it was
Oh shit,
cool that he
okay.
was the. Yeah, so he was the guy that I was going over for the ECW title in the cage, and I was super popular with the fans at the time, and so they went nuts. Like, I've still got the VHS, and like the fans were like up on the cage, like shaking the cage, and like just it was really cool. It was a, you know, it was a. I love being a heel, and I don't really want to be a babyface again, but it's at that for that time. I it was tremendous, but then I think it was like 2 months later I show up and they've got the Ladies' Choice going over for the title, and I'm thinking, what happened to my title reign? And that's another thing, the Ladies' Choice is one of my best friends too, so like, you know, I have no problem doing the job to the Ladies' Choice, he's a very deserving champion, but they
Right.
wanted the title on him because he could. I couldn't, you know, it was only two years in. I wasn't a great talker yet, and they wanted the belt on a guy, an established guy, the Ladies' Choice. Like that made sense. But then I show up at the next show, and I see they got me jobbing to this guy, Dropkick Murphy, from the other wrestling company, who I think had worked for us once. And at the time in the indies around here, like if you worked for one, they didn't want you working for the other one. And it, you know, everyone's, what
Yeah.
they call it, rubbing two nickels together, some sort of cliche like that. And so I was like, what am I gonna put over this outsider from this other wrestling company, and I went to Dave Republic, and I was like, well, you know, I just lost the belt, and now I'm doing the job to this Dropkick Murphy guy. And I literally, and this is terrible because I was only 2 years in, they changed the finish. And
Oh shit.
instead of me, because I was like the golden boy, so they wanted to keep the golden boy happy, and so they changed the finish. They had Chance Beckett do a run in, and just it was like a DQ finish or whatever. But the thing was, over the course of that evening, in working the matchup with Dropkick, we just connected like crazy. Like we were laughing, and we discovered our mutual love for Saved by the Bell and similar things. And you know, 90s wrestling appealed to us, and we just really connected, and we hung out the following weekend, and we were just, you know, that was it. And so it's kind of funny that one of two guys I've ever complained about doing the job to, it turned out to be, you know, one of the closest people to me that will ever live.
Did you tell him that? Did you tell him that you
Yeah.
changed the finish?
Well, not at the time, but I
Shit.
wish I could. I wish I could remember if he knew what the finish was and that it was switched like that. I wish I could ask him that, but we've talked about it since, and like he doesn't take offense because he knows why it was like that. Like,
So,
and he knows I respect him, so
did he both kind of come in around the same time then? Or was he
yeah, a
around?
little bit, just a little bit after me. He started with WrestlePlex here. It was the Rocket Randy Tyler and Iron Mike Roselli, and it was something they were doing, but they didn't have a. I think they only ran one or two shows. I think it was like they had the school, but they only ran one or two shows. And then, so guys who were from WrestlePlex would ended up in ECW, or I think I think Tim Flowers' ICW was still running. And then Fabio had All Star Wrestling. And it's interesting. I wonder how many All Star Wrestlings there have been across North America over the last several decades, and if there is any, if there's like a lineage, or if it's like, I guess, you know what? I could ask Vance Nevada. Vance Nevada is a guy that he's written a couple of books and is an expert on the history of Canadian pro wrestling. So that's something I should ask him.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool that you got, someone doing that, and then someone that's, taken that much into preserving so much of it and finding out so much more. And yeah, I mean, like, even the like the Portland shit, it's fucking pretty unfortunate with what happened with all that stuff, all that footage, and
A few times it tried to get going again. Like, there was Portland Wrestling in 2002, and then another attempted comeback in it was 2013 or something, maybe Portland Wrestling Uncut.
Oh yeah, Portland Wrestling Uncut. Yeah, I remember
Yeah.
Portland Wrestling Uncut.
Yeah. So I worked for both times. I got to work with Rowdy Roddy Piper on Portland Wrestling Uncut, which was just insane. It was like, talk about icons, legends. Like, dude, doesn't get bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean that was a weird one. That was a weird one, just like him being there. Like something you
Yeah.
didn't really even back then, even whenever that was, 2012, 2013 or whatever, somewhere in there, like it still seemed like a lot, but then like yeah, then like whatever, 2 years later he was gone. And
Yeah.
yeah, I think I told you how I found out about when he died, when Piper died. So we were at what's it called, at Agra Fair, I believe, and it was me and I want to say it was me, Nick, Crystal, and X maybe or something, and we were like, and this was before, like, so the Americans, we didn't have like cell service up there, we just so like we'd go up there and we wouldn't know what's going on. So like we're all about to walk out down through the curtains, and Tim Flowers walks by and goes, "Ready, ready, Piper's dead." And then like just as we're going
Well,
out to have the match, and like
of
that, I
course,
still
Tim Flowers would do that.
just very matter of fact. And then so we're like, we all get in the ring. We're like, "Dude, wait, what was he telling the truth? Like, what the fuck? Like, really? Like, okay." But it was but yeah, that was how I found that one out. But yeah, dude,
So
like,
that's such a Tim Flowers thing to do. And I mean, no disrespect. I love Tim. I go way back. I watched Tim Flowers as a kid on All Star Wrestling.
on All Star Wrestling. So, like, yeah, I mean, so then a lot of that footage, that's still like, where did that end up? A lot of that footage, is that all kind of easy to
You know
find?
what? There's a Twitter account that posts things about it. I'm not sure who owns the rights, but I think that there's probably quite a bit of it out there. It was aired on BCTV here, I think. It was because it was shot in BCTV studio. Like, BCTV isn't a, I'm not sure what it's turned into, but yeah, it was a staple. It was Saturday afternoon. I watched All Star Wrestling locally, and then Stampede Wrestling from Calgary, and then the WWE show that was on here was, they called it Maple Leaf Wrestling, was the name of the show. And so that was the three. It was Saturday afternoons, and I was so, like, I was, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and so I wasn't able to stay up and watch WWF Superstars, which was on at 11 p.m. here, and then of course, Saturday night's main event, which was on at midnight. And then the NWA show was on here at 12 or 1 a.m. on Saturday nights as well. And very rarely did I get to stay up and watch that. I remember when I did, though, I remember there was a vignette, or they had Flair was in a program with Ronnie Garvin, and Garvin came back to his pool thinking that that it was his valet standing there with long, long hair, and turns out I think it was Flair in a wig, and someone got thrown in the pool. That's my first memory of the NWA. It might even have been the reverse. It might have been Flair coming back and Garvin in a wig and thrown in the pool. But
Yeah, I mean, yeah, getting thrown in the pool—that's a, pretty good way to have a match or a
well, if
segment
there's
to.
water, if there's water in around
Yeah.
in a wrestling, if it's near the ring or a wrestling segment, someone is going to go in the pool. If there is
Right.
a cake in a wrestling segment, someone is going in the cake. And if anyone is awarded a trophy in wrestling, it's most likely going to get broken.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, you can kind of count on that. And so one thing I heard about water, so wearing a mask or whatever you want to call it, I heard that, but I don't know, I heard this like on something I just was watching that said that that some of the luchadors, they'll go and they'll dunk it in cold water beforehand, and then it's not as annoying on your face. And
Really?
I had never heard that before, but it maybe makes sense, but I haven't tried it yet. Like I don't have a way to do that.
I've only wrestled under hood tw twice. Well, I did an episode of DC Legends, actually. Kenny Lush and I were both luchadors on an episode of that. So, but it wasn't like a match. We just had to do spots, and so it wasn't really like big deal wearing the mask. But when I've tried to wrestle, like I was taking time off at one point for an injury, and I had a booking on Vancouver Island, and I hadn't returned to ECCW yet. So I was what was called, I named it after a Beck album. It was called the Midnight Vulture. And
Cool.
so I had a hood, and I tried to have a different move set, and looking back, it was just Scotty Mac with a mask. And then I tried wearing a mask in Paraguay. I might even told this story on your podcast before, I'm not sure, but I went to Joel, the promoter. I said, "Joel, I got an idea where we can have a new member of the roster that can help with the inexperienced guys, and it's not going to cost you any money to travel or accommodation or anything, bring someone else from North America. I'll go under a hood and like a full bodysuit. I'll cover up everything. The hood will have a wig in it, and no one will know it's me, and I'll play a heel."
Yeah.
And we called L.A. Lustre, which is the illustrious. Well, it was L.A. Lustre Scotty Mac after for a little while, but the illustrious Scotty Mac. And one match, I come out. I've got a Spanish girl with me, and because I couldn't speak Spanish, and the crowd spoke Spanish, and some of them Guaranese, which is the language of Paraguay, still is, I imagine. And so I'm doing the promo post match after they watched me go over one of the Paraguayan wrestlers, and I'm doing this thing where I would tell my valet what I wanted to say, and she would say it to the live crowd. And so I said, you don't know who I am, but to be fair, I don't know who any of you are either. And so she then repeats that in Spanish to the crowd, and then I hear, Escoti, Escoti, Matt. They fucking do. So, Scotty! And my cover was blown at one match and just covered head to toe. But I guess my proportions, the way I move, whatever, they called me out. And all of a sudden, I went from what was going to be like, it was going to go on for a couple of months and then eventually reveal that it was me all along. And so instead, it was the following week TV where we had a baby face come out and just, say, we know it's you, Scotty. And then so I take off the hood and then give him a kick. And then now Scotty Mac was the heel. But I tried, it just didn't work.
I mean, it's I don't know. It was definitely a lot harder than I thought it would be. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal
How
to
much did
do
you
it.
wrestle in a mask?
A little bit. I did. I up in for Marty. I did for like probably like five matches under the hood.
Marty Sugar.
And I fucking, I don't know. Yeah, I did five of those as like, I don't know. It was some. I had to wear like a coveralls kind of a thing, kind of, and then some mask. I don't remember what the mask looked like, but obviously something that was covering it. But yeah, I did that one, and then I did another one where I had like a bandana over my face, and then I had like a bandana over my head. But I was taking the spot for Dr. Cleaver, which makes, all kinds of sense. If you're gonna have someone taken over, supposed to like, it's been Dr. Cleaver the last few times, and then it was me, and I was doing some move. Someone kicked me in the face, and the fucking shit just fell off. And I'm like, it's fucking rusty. I'm like, ah, shit. Okay, well.
To be fair, I think you were to think that your double bandana combination would stay on. You're
Right.
asking too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I did not make it. And I
Well,
think that was still, oh, go ahead.
coincidentally, the one match I worked as LA Lustre, the local wrestler that I was in the ring with, I went to pick him up and I went to grab him by the head and I pulled his hood off. And so I think the magic of television editing, I think they probably worked around it, but the live crowd got the reveal that night too. It was rough because then you're scrambling to get it back on. And
Was the live crowd, were they like, what was the live crowd like there? Were they a lot of people that would come back often, or was it constantly new crowds coming in with or new people?
we had our regular fans. Their WWE wasn't it, there was a weekly show on, well, I imagine there still is on in Paraguay. And in South America, the WWE's the most popular in Chile. And Paraguay, that was the whole purpose was Joel, a friend of mine. He had gone over to Paraguay for a different business venture and then saw, it's like, oh, all that they have for entertainment is like soccer or football, as they call it there, and then like these really weird variety shows where it would be like, like a combination of a talk show and like just maybe news segments and there'd be some sort of dancing segment, and it was just these weird sort of variety shows. And so he saw And then they have a very young population. And so Joel thought, okay, well, there's money to be made here, and there's a void in the entertainment world to be filled here. And so that's why he wanted to start Luchando in Las Americas there. And we gave it a good effort, and we were there for almost 6 months and filmed 20 episodes of TV. And it seemed as though that it was difficult for someone from North America to make it successful there. It seemed as if there was a lot of red tape and roadblocks put up for us, like almost like they made it more difficult for us because we're Westerners. I don't know if that's the case, but that is how it came across. But we did have our fans. I think if we were to do it again, we would have worked in more, like we would have traveled and done like house shows and gone to the smaller parts or the other parts of Paraguay, and so that everyone could have got to be there at a live show and feel what it's like to be at a live wrestling show. And because a lot of the people there just they didn't watch a lot of pro wrestling, and so we tried to bring the North American style of pro wrestling to them. And again, we had a decent amount of fans every week for the tapings, and a lot of the same fans, but it never like we were expecting it to just blow up. Like every week it was like, all right, well, this is the week that, when we go to the mall, everyone's gonna know who we are. And it never turned into that for whatever reason.
How big is the country? It's a stupid geography question that I could probably figure out, but like
It's
in
not
relation
very
to
big.
like yeah, it's not like maybe like the size of I don't know, because I mean you can't like the size of BC because it's nowhere near the size of BC.
No, but it's a small country and good people, and I would go back there in a heartbeat, especially with everything that's going on in the Western world. It was a simple way of life, and seemed relatively unaffected by the rest of the world, at least when I was there. And I mean, Jason Sullivan, it was appealing enough that our mutual friend Jason Sullivan has relocated there, and now he's doing, is it Mass Lucha that he
I
calls
think
it?
so. Yeah, I think that's what it
So
is.
yeah, so Luchando in Las Americas was like the this you know the start, and then now Jason Sullivan has gone back, and it sounds like he's running a successful wrestling school and wrestling show. And I hope he's very successful, and it would be amazing to go work for him one day and return to Paraguay. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm like, I've kind of been hinting, I'm like, it's time to go, time to leave the country here, and like,
Yeah, man.
yeah, I've been wanting to for a while, but like, it was kind of the plan, 5 years ago, but yeah, then 4 years ago happened, and then I was like, okay, well, you can't go, because yeah, I was, looking at some places like, but then it would have been probably, I don't know, a lot of some Asian countries are, not much different.
It's
But I mean,
really,
it's,
it's yeah, it's hard to know. It's hard to know where to go, because I think you and I are both wanting to avoid the same sort of thing. Like I don't know how much you news about Canada you get, but our freedom here in Canada is slowly being taken away bit by
slow
bit, and
felt more sl not really slowly, I wouldn't say. I'd say it's kind of
well,
quick.
I
Like,
guess if you're in the know, but for the, for the average
sure.
person that just watches regular media, they that it's all about convenience for them. It's like, okay, well, we're gonna switch to these digital IDs and digital money, and we'll put a chip in your arm, and you won't have to worry about forgetting anything. And it's like, people don't realize what comes along with all of that.
Right. Yeah. And it's not far. And I mean, people are lining up for it, waiting for it, because I
Yeah.
mean, that extra layer of convenience, whatever that costs. I mean, yeah, like that.
Everything.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, even, I don't, even Mexico might not be that bad.
Well,
Like,
that's what I don't know. I
you
don't
know.
like Mexico. I know people that have already relocated there, and I've felt like that too. And I do have family and friends here, so that does factor into the decisions I make. And I've got some new opportunities here, which I'm really excited about, that I'm not in a rush to run away from or anything. But at the same time, with what's going on in the world, like you want to go somewhere that isn't affected by it. But I can only hope that if I was to go to a place like that as this globalism continues, and they're looking for this sort of one world government thing, how long until the countries that are avoiding, like a country like El Salvador, who
Yeah.
has a really, really great leader as far as I've seen, and their the independence that they have, they don't want to be a part of globalism and this one world government. But it's like, if all these other countries are all united and on board, are they just gonna just slowly pick off the countries that aren't, or take over the countries that aren't? It's hard to say.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe not, but I mean, it seems like it would be the logical step. And I mean, yeah, like a lot of those Central American and into South American kind of seems like the place to go. Like the only place, I don't know, like it, 'cause Asia always sounds appealing, but you know, and there is only one country in Asia where you can smoke weed, so I mean that kind of would be a bit of a thing for me, I guess. I would, and
Well,
maybe yeah.
I'm hearing really good things about Thailand,
Yeah.
and then the Philippines also sounds like a really great place.
Yeah, man, the Philippines, man, there's I don't know, man. They seem like cool people. I got on to doing live streaming a few years ago, and it was with all these Filipinos, which was weird. It's like
Nice.
a Filipino site, and yeah, they were all cool as shit.
I enjoy the Filipino people. If we're gonna generalize,
Yeah,
I do enjoy the
generalize because I met
Filipinos.
like 20 of them, and you can generalize people if you know 20 of them. You can generalize people like, I mean, yeah, like I don't know, like. There's very much generalizations going on if you talk to one person, and like, and then that's kind of, that's a big thing. Like, oh, I represent everybody. That's this, kind of a thing. And he's like, no,
Well, as a
there's a
Canadian,
lot more people.
it drives me crazy though, dude. As a Canadian, and I work in a bar, and the amount of people that will generalize about Americans, like, well, they'll refer to them like the Americans are this, America that. You're talking about a gigantic country, like with so many people. And
Right.
you're gonna lump them all in, like, yeah. So
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. I don't really, I don't argue. I usually keep my mouth shut. But
Yeah.
there was a point when I was married to an American, and if I felt argumentative that day, I might say, "Well, I'm married to an American, and whatever," and
Yeah.
defend the honor of my American friends.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, I don't know, it's it's, yeah, real easy to just say
Well, it's kind of like
something
all
and
Canadians are nice and
right.
polite and love hockey and well, there are a lot of Canadians that love hockey, and there's a lot of impolite Canadians. And I discovered when I was married to Christina, I would be traveling to Sacramento, at least a couple times a year, and I found, and I actually I posted this as a Facebook status around the time, so it would have been maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, and I said that I discovered that Canadians were known for being polite and friendly people, and I would cross the border. If I flew out of Seattle, and from the fast food places to the people at the gas station to the people working at the airport, like, no, the Americans are much more polite and friendly, I'm finding, than Canadians these days. It really was the case. I mean, I haven't been down there in a few years. Like, I haven't been down there since the lockdowns and all that nonsense. But
Yeah.
we don't have, we're not. We're not the same polite country we once were.
Yeah, and I mean that would be a pretty good tag team name or a faction name, if you ever, have the Impolite Canadians. Or that seems like a good TV show or something. Just that would be, I think, a fun thing to have. And
It.
yeah, and dude, like, I don't know, man. It's really fucking just hard sometimes to just, yeah, not go, but like, I don't know. Sometimes, like, I see something probably happening, fairly soon of some sort of repeat of some sort of some sort of lockdown, shutdown, making it harder to get across the borders here.
Now, April 8th, 9th,
Yeah.
the solar eclipse, that might be their opportunity.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of bringing in a lot of National Guard.
Yeah.
CERN's turning their collider back on, and it's gonna be a pretty weird day.
So basically what we're saying is that we got a week left, people.
Yeah, we got a week left, so make it count.
Enjoy and Yeah, enjoy your last week of freedom, because shit's about to get crazy again.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, that it's like the thing, turn the lights out, and then all of a sudden, lights come back in. Fucking someone comes in, fucking takes off the mask. It was me all along. Just like, gotcha. Fuck. Yeah, and so I don't know, man. Because I would like to get back up to Canada, and like at some point, like. It was so stupid and hard for so long. I just was kind of over it then.
Yeah, it really it's I actually ended up with $11,500 in fines for a trip to Sacramento in I guess it would have been June 2021 or July 2021. And we weren't, we were to, if we were to travel out of Canada when we returned, we were to quarantine in a hotel for a required quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks on our dime upon returning to Canada. And so, yeah, dude. And there's like this, we had an app that we were supposed to download, and it was just setting up the infrastructure for the digital ID and everything that's coming.
Yeah.
And so you needed to have proof of a hotel reservation upon returning to Canada. And like, I won't go into too much detail in order to, I wouldn't want to incriminate myself more than I would be wise to. But I knew it was nonsense, and I even attempted. I was a bad boy that day, and
Yeah.
I took some risks, and my risks paid off because by 7 months after that, the one of my $6,750 fines was thrown out. I got an email saying, okay, this one's thrown out. And then I had to go to court for the other one, in which that one was thrown out. And because I knew that they couldn't do it. Like, it was nonsense.
Yeah.
It was
So
bullshit. But there was
there
people that didn't know to challenge it and just paid their fines if they had fines like.
So this was a thing, like people were getting fined for doing something other than that, other
If
than
you weren't, if
doing
you
on the
didn't,
app.
when you returned and you didn't have a hotel reservation for 2 weeks, it was, I can't remember what the two, oh yeah, one of the fines was for not having my hotel reservation, and the, because I wasn't going to do it, I wasn't going to quarantine for, I'm not quarantining just for sick people, I'm not
Right.
sick, and it's unlawful imprisonment. And the other fine, and they're both, like I said, $6,750, was for not having the proper testing done when I came back to Canada, because there was a couple different, there's antigen, there's an antigen test and like another test. And the test I took when I traveled there was good for 72 hours. I was only in the United States for like 48 hours. So my test covers 72 hours. And,
Okay.
but because it was the different test than what they required in Canada than the one for me to get into the States, they tried to fine me for not having the right test.
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy. And you know how I knew that it was nonsense though, is when I was in the airport and waiting to go through like the border and all that. And there was plenty of police, but the people writing the tickets were just public health officers, I guess they're called. And so they're just wearing these red vests, and they were just, regular government employees or whatever it was. And they were re so, by my estimation, the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the police that were there were there for the visuals, not because the tickets were a proper legal thing. And I was able to judge that because the police weren't interacting with the people. It was the public health officers that were writing these tickets. The police were just present.
Okay, yeah, so there's no real
Yeah, I knew that they didn't, I knew that they had nothing there, because it would have been the police officers that would have been doing it.
yeah. And so then you got they're all fucking dropped then.
Done. Didn't pay
Done.
a penny. Yeah.
Man, yeah, that'd be a fucking easy racket, I guess. Yeah,
I
people
was
still.
just, I like, it didn't even affect me, because I was going through so much at the time that it was, I immediately just thought, fuck you. $11,500, go to hell. I'm not paying. And I knew it was nonsense. Like I said, I looked around and I could tell. I'm like, nah, this isn't right. Because I was already paying a lot of attention to what was going on, and I saw how much of what we were being told was bullshit. So I knew to question everything.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
man, okay. And I mean, it's just like, I don't know. 'Cause yeah, like what another thing with like the ID like they were doing was always an interesting one. Like I remember it was mis or was it Mississippi or Louisiana? They did it to like you have to give your ID to access porn. And so like before you can get onto a porn site, you have to enter your driver's license and to go and stop it from people under 18 being able to view porn.
I guess they I see the good intentions from that, but
Right. But then that also means everyone's got to get a digital ID and
that's right.
yeah, have that right there. And
Yeah, but they disguise it with the good intentions of trying to keep kids from viewing that. And
right.
but obviously we both question their real motives.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, yeah, so it's just like I don't know, but it's I don't know if it's been worth it yet to go up to the border. I don't want to have to deal with it. It was.
Well, I mean, this at this point, things are
Eased up.
relatively back to normal, I
Yeah.
think. Like I said, I haven't traveled across since then, but who knows? Like, so we got a week left.
Yeah, I got a week, man. Less than a week now, so. We're going for it. And so yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're wanting to get across, now's the time. And then, man, yeah. Flying on airplanes, did you do that at all during that when you had to fucking wear a mask and shit to go on an
Yeah, it's
airplane?
just the yeah, there was that trip to Sacramento, and then one time I had bookings in Alberta, so one province over, and I wore my mask. It said something, I think it said something about I'm wearing this because I have to, not because I think it's effective. It's, there was something. My mask made sure everybody knew that I was not wanting to be compliant, and it's
Yeah.
literally the only photo that exists of me online in a mask, I think, is one of me ridiculing the nonsense of it all on that trip, about how it really
Yeah.
shouldn't be masked up.
It was a lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, just yeah,
And disappointed in the amount of humanity that just blindly went with it, didn't question anything.
yeah,
Oh, but they're telling us to.
yeah, and it was, I mean, it was weird doing so many fucking things. Like, man, if you can go to Iowa, I guess, if you really want to not have to worry about anything, Iowa seemed to be pretty all right with whatever was going on, just kind of stayed out
Yeah.
of it. Yeah. If you can deal with Iowa, man, like it's not a bad place to be, man. I really wish I would have stayed there. Like, yeah, nothing ever changed there. It
Really,
was, yeah, dude, like it was business the whole time. Nothing, no shutdown at all, no restrictions, no masks. No, nothing. And yeah, the whole time, like it just everything was just
that's cool.
normal. Yeah, man, it was pretty sweet. And like so when I was down there, it was nice. 'Cause yeah, like even up into Minnesota a little bit right there, 'cause I was like 15 minutes from the border, and like they didn't really care. Some people did. It was like Walmart. Walmart was
Yeah.
like you kind of got to wear a mask in there, but anything else was just like, oh, I'm not doing that shit. And then yeah, Iowa was just fucking never anything, like never, yeah, any masks. And so I just go down there and like, I'm going to Iowa, man, getting some fucking real freedom, man. And
Yeah.
yeah, ride my fucking scooter down there and chill out, man. I don't know. Yeah, Iowa was a cool spot, but yeah, it's, I don't know, it's difficult when, yeah, there's a lot of people around, that you got. See if I don't know. It, they probably don't want to come. Like, it's kind of a thing you just. But you like you went to Paraguay. So like when you went to Paraguay, did you think it was going to be like for a while, or did you think it was going to be a bit and come back,
Ideally,
or?
I knew I was going for it was just over 5 months. I wanted to be back for the ballroom brawl we had at the Commodore in July. I knew we were doing TV until June, and so I came back for Commodore, and then we were hoping that the show would be a success, and then if it was, I wanted to spend 6 months of the year in Paraguay and 6 months of the year in Canada.
It's, yeah, I mean, yeah, that, I don't know. I see a lot of people, especially when I was up in New England, there were so many people that were doing the, 6 months, down in
But
Florida.
that was before we knew though like anything was going on. This was 2015, so there I
Yeah.
had no reason to think that I would want to leave Canada permanently. Like, I mean, I said there was one point where I thought, well, the initial plan I was going to be in Canada until in 2023, and then the plan was to move to California, but obviously things change with that, but and out of all the states, California seems like
Oh,
the
yeah.
most like Canada, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah, man, yeah. California was, yeah, I mean, I went down there. I mean, I'm gonna put all of California on this little spot that I went, like, after, or when was that? Probably like 2022, I think I went, but it was still like, pretty fucking having to wear shit all over down there, and it's like, fuck, man. But I mean, California is a big state, but there's just, yeah, so much fucking red tape with shit, and like,
But then I from what I understand that the like there's a bunch of places in California that don't want it that way.
yeah, I mean, it's like, and there's a lot of fucking farmland and shit in California, and it's kind of like
Hey,
the
I can
Oregon
take
thing.
let me just check my battery situation 1 sec, okay?
Okay. Okay, well, cool. Oh, there, maybe he's there. But yeah. So
Well,
thank
I'm
you.
still here.
You're
I
good?
just need to
Okay.
make sure. I need to make sure that my
Okay.
battery is good. I don't want to disappear. So hang tight.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network, checking out the Public Access Podcast. Check out Scotty Mac anywhere. You can type in Scotty Mac and that'll probably pop up anything and be like, oh, there he is. Probably just Google him. Probably be the best way. I don't know if there's other Scotty Macs out there. I don't know. I don't want to think I'm gonna have a world where there's more than one Scotty Mac. What would that Scotty Mac be like? I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. There's too many Rusty Diamonds now. None of them will friend me on anything. I tried to find them, tried to find these other Rusty Diamonds, these motherfuckers. But yeah, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to be Rusty Diamond. And there can't be fucking seven of us or however many, whoever these other ones are. There he is. All right. Yeah, dude.
How many rusty
So,
diamonds are there?
dude, there's a lot. There's a lot right now, and it's fucking weird. There's like seven or eight now. When I became Rusty Diamond, there was one, and then I don't even know. It might have been after me too, but that's it. There was just one other one. Now there's like seven or eight. And are there other Scotty
There's a
Macs?
few, yeah. There is. There's. I've. There's a. I think a rapper that's much more famous than me, that is Scotty Mac. And then there was a I think he was there was a Scotty Mac in the States, I think, that did like broadcasting or something. And
Okay.
so yeah, so there's a few. I think I'm probably like I'd like to think this the second most famous Scotty Mac out.
That works.
I mean, obviously I would like the number one spot, but I got some work to do.
So there was a rapper. Where is the rapper? Is he like an American rapper? Scotty Mac or
Yeah.
something? Okay.
I just saw something come up, but it was actually, I think it had to do with, I think he was talking about Cat Williams.
Okay.
And because Cat Williams has become quite the, like he was dropping the truth bombs on that, what's it called?
Yeah.
Shay.
Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing lots of Cat Williams on my social media, and I think it was a rapper named Scotty Mac that was exposing a little truth on, or what he said was truth on Cat Williams.
On what Kat was saying or what Kat was
I
doing.
just what Cat was doing that Cat was not. I think some sort of accusing him of some sort of drug use. So I don't know
Okay.
one way or the other, but it was
Yeah.
kind of like it was basically it was him calling out Kat, I think, because Kat was calling everyone out, and I don't know if Kat like denied ever using or something like that. That's what I was gathering from it.
Yeah, and yeah, just kind of discredit him and
But
yeah.
it
I mean,
seems like Kat's saying a lot of important things, and of course all this P. Diddy shit like that's.
I don't know. I've been saying this stuff for a long time, but
Well,
I
you know
don't
what?
know.
It's the P. Diddy stuff that made me I always like I thought Michael Jackson was pretty weird. I appreciated his talent, but I thought he was pretty weird, and I didn't think it was. I was someone that was more thinking, okay, well, with the whole, with the kids that he was guilty, and I completely flipped on that. I
I
don't
have too.
think, yeah, like I don't think he was guilty at all because I watched a bunch of stuff how. He was, he owned half of Sony Music. And so he was in a position of power and he was starting to expose the music industry. And then, like, I saw some stuff from Macaulay Culkin, who spent a lot of time with MJ and, like, said, like, he never did shit. And Macaulay was calling out other pedos in Hollywood for shit. And he was saying MJ didn't do anything. And then the dudes that were accusing MJ and like I don't know if it was a documentary or something that came out, they at the time they just happened to have, what they wanted to be like burgeoning entertainment careers at
Right.
the time. And so it was good publicity for them. And, that doesn't sound like good publicity, but I guess any publicity is good publicity, they say. And then I saw something about how because of all this, because they were trying to get Michael Jackson and bring him down, the FBI investigated Michael Jackson for 10 years and took all his electronics and all that, literally nothing. 10 years of investigation, nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, and then you got like Corey Feldman too, kind of saying the same thing as Macaulay Culkin,
Macaulay.
like the same shit, like just calling out all these other people, but like, oh, dude, Michael was fucking cool. Like,
Yeah.
Like there's that Chappelle bit, like Michael Jackson. I don't know if he did it, but would I let my kids stay over there? I was like, hell no, or whatever the fuck he said. Not like, to butcher that joke, but like, I don't know. I wouldn't know if I would let my kids go over there, but like, I wouldn't.
Well, but
It
would
wouldn't
you
be
let
like,
your kid, would you have your kids go over to any grown man's
right.
place to spend the night? No, probably
Yeah.
not.
Yeah. But did that mean that
But
he was doing something? No. But
no.
yeah,
And you
man.
know what? I believe Macaulay Culkin, and the cool thing is I had the pleasure of meeting him one night at I was bouncing at a bar here called the Rickshaw with another wrestler, Kenny Lush, and Macaulay Culkin's band, the Pizza Underground, which from what I hear is calling out the whole, pizza gate, all that sort of shit. Like, and so we saw the Pizza Underground that night and we were bouncing, and then so we met Macaulay, and both Lash and I knew that Macaulay Culkin loved wrestling because we both remember WrestleMania 7, which was the first WrestleMania I got to watch while it was like happening like live on my uncle's satellite dish, and Home Alone had just come out, I think, in the last couple of years, and they showed Macaulay Culkin in the crowd, and so it was like you knew Macaulay Culkin was into wrestling, and so we told him we were wrestlers, and dude was so real, like he was just so genuine and cool.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, who would have thought that? And I don't know, I don't think I would have, but like, he seemed like a cool guy. He had a podcast a while ago. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
I think I'm going to take in some more Macaulay Culkin content over the next while. I'll check out a podcast or two, and he just
Yeah,
seems like an awesome dude.
it was called like Bunny ears too, which is another thing, kind of like
Yeah.
that. And now that's an interesting thing. Like they would always be wearing those
Yeah.
bunny ear fucking things. But probably yeah, kind of like the Pizza Underground thing. Yeah, man, and like I don't know, and it's hard now with that, like so much like for things going on, like. Do you still put kids in television or put them in entertainment, or do you just digitize them now, or give them like some fucking no depth little fucking singular kind of creature as the as the kid? Or I mean, is it can you still
Well,
have kids in entertainment?
yeah, I with my girlfriend Amanda, she's got an 8-year-old boy, Darius, and a 5-year-old girl, Haven. They're both brilliant and adorable, good-looking kids. And I always thought that if I had kids, like if I had a son, I would want him to be a wrestler, and if I had kids, I'd probably put them into modeling and acting because I know that that's what I wanted when I was a kid. Like I wish that my parents had got me into entertainment, when I was younger. Looking back, maybe it's for the best because the trade-off doesn't necessarily sound worth it. And
Yeah.
so it's made it so that even though I think that both Darius and Haven would succeed, would excel if they were to try acting or modeling or something, I don't think it's worth the risk anymore. And especially when we could make our own content. I mean, they've already expressed interest in doing. They're like, oh, can we make YouTube videos? So I should probably get creative and try to figure out an angle on that. And just, we got a week left,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. Get that YouTube video to drop before the 8th,
That's
and you'll
right.
be set, man. And yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. There's fucking, I don't know. It was hard with wrestling. Like, I mean, there have been so many fucking people that, and you know what? Like, every one of them, I was like, but then, yeah, once it became a very, even like, because I remember like the first one that I found out was this guy down in Oregon, and it was like working for this backyard fed, and dude fucking rubbed me the wrong way, and like then yeah, it turns out that he was fucking registered
Rubbing
offender
people the
and
wrong way.
shit. Yeah, right. Yeah, rubbing people the wrong way, and fuck, dude. And then yeah, and then I don't know. And then like in the last 4 or 5 years, like there's been a lot. And then in
And it's usually the those that are pointing the fingers that would be the first to try to blast others that end up with the I'm not a perfect person. I've made my share of mistakes, but it's not involving kids or sexual abuse against anybody, and that's just proudly that's not something I have to have on my conscience.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, dude. It got, yeah, it was fucking, I don't know. I didn't like it with that, and then yeah, with comedy, it just like you start seeing people, and you're like, then yeah, then you got people fucking
It
trying.
sucks because Louis C.K. I don't want to. I don't want to say what he did was cool or whatever. But I'm such a big Louis C.K. fan. His whether it be a stand up or his shows, I'm such like it's just so good. Like he is brilliant. Even was a co-creator and writer of the show Baskets. I don't know if you watched with Zach
Oh, with
Galifianakis.
Zach, yeah, it was Zach Galifianakis and who else was in it? But yeah, were there clowns?
Yeah, and Louis Anderson played his mother,
Oh, dude, fuck yeah. Oh, no
and
shit.
got a yeah, dude, and he got an Emmy for it. It was brilliant, man. If you can watch
Oh.
Baskets from start to finish,
Okay.
it's such a good show. It's amazing, and Louis C.K. was part of that until the last season, in which that's when all the shit came out, and they actually I remember seeing his name in the credits, and then it was no longer in the credits,
Oh,
and
damn.
so they separated, I guess, from him. But I am happy to see that Louis C.K. has resurfaced a bit. I know he's doing some touring, and I think we all have our moral compass and what we think is forgivable and what we think people can come back from and maybe learn from. And as much as whatever Louis C.K. was doing wasn't cool, I would love to see more of Louis C.K. again. I think that is something in my moral compass, that what he did is something that you can learn from and just maybe not do again.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's not something. Yeah, I mean, not the same as whatever with a lot of other things. It could be a lot worse. It could be
And
a lot worse.
it is a lot worse. A lot of what do you think about this Ryan Garcia stuff? Do you think that that's like because it conveniently he's got a fight to promote on 420, and then he was on Ryan Garcia's a boxer, and he was on Andrew Tate's X, what do they call it? The chats they do on X, where it's like a on Twitter
Ask
the
like a ask me anything, or like is it like
like a
a
with like
live
it's like
stream?
a yeah like a live stream, but it's like a bunch of people in the chat, like it's a bunch of people talking, like I don't remember what it's called, but
Okay.
so
I know what you
Ryan
mean.
Garcia was on there with Andrew Tate, and he was saying that he was tied down and forced to watch child rape and things, and that he was abused as a 2-year-old, and they've tried. And I listened to another thing he was on with Alex Jones, and he's saying that they tried to erase his memory, and that he's trying to expose the elites and the whole Bohemian Grove stuff and the pedophile rings and all that. So hopefully, not hopefully it's legit, meaning I want that to happen to anybody, but
Right.
hopefully it's not about promoting a fight, which I don't think it is. But his credibility was put into question because he said, like, they tried to pass it off like he was crazy.
Oh, sure.
And
Okay.
of course they're going to do that. And then he said, okay, well, I won't be saying anything until after my fight on 420. But then like I said, I just like yesterday or the day before, he was talking to Alex Jones on one of those X chats, and sharing more about it. There's not a lot of detail, but I guess he said he's working with authorities to bring this stuff down, which would be cool.
Yeah, and I mean, it's pretty big and pretty prevalent in so many fucking places, and I don't know, man. It's weird. And then yeah, you
Well,
get.
that's some say that that's why we're expecting this net, like April 8th, is because the P. Diddy trial and all that, where everyone's getting exposed, and the Epstein list and all that. That if like there's this like this world emergency, that we can't be worried about pedophiles when we're worried about our own survival, kind of thing.
Right. And I mean, that's a great cover to be like, oh, because any people could talk shit like that. They could say, oh, well, you're going to fucking care about like this guy that was fucking kids. No, man, you got to worry about wearing this fucking mask. That's what you got to do. You better mask up and stay 6 feet away from me. Stay fucking 6 feet. Let me eat. And then COVID down, COVID up. It's, I don't, it was weird, man. And then, like, fuck, dude. I don't know. I hope that something goes down, but like, I don't want to, like you're saying, I don't want to believe that there really is all this shit. But
It's either
we'll see
really
when
good.
it
It's
happens.
either, yeah, like it's either going to be a really good year or a really bad year. Because if you're optimistic, then it's like, okay, well, 2024 is when the truth comes out, and the evil and the elites are taken down, and everything is reset, and we've got this new world that doesn't have the same, evils of these pedophile rings and things. But then it's also like, is it to get there? Like, even if that's where we end up, do we have to, does there have to be mass chaos and power outages and all these things, like, in order to reset? Like, I've read multiple things, I've listened to so many things on it, wondering. They're
Yeah.
speculating on how it's going to go down, and the price that is going to be paid.
As far as on us, as far as what we're gonna have
Yes,
to
like as
take
in,
on
like as
and
in, like they're going to shut this, you're going to shut the power grid down. There's going to be food shortages and fuel shortages and all that. But then when it goes back up, then the right people are going to be in charge, and it's all good. That's the optimistic angle that I've heard. But
yeah.
then to be pessimistic, then it's like, well, no, the elites are in charge, and they've got what they need to make sure that they stay in power, whether we know the truth or not. and that just all the truth will be exposed, and we're just gonna have to accept it and get our chips in our wrist and stay in our 15-minute cities and put on our virtual reality helmet at home, because we can't face the real world, because it's we wouldn't want to.
Right. I mean, like, Baltimore is supposed to be a 15-minute city, and then that just that was one of the ones on the list
Yeah,
of the
we've got a
15-minute cities
few.
coming up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we've got a few around here that are supposed to be going.
And yeah, it's fucking it's amazing. You just kind of gotta. I don't know if we talked about that last time, about how, yeah, like those places, where they are, like what's happening to all of them. And so, I mean, yeah, a lot of the ones in the States, there was all the, train derailments and fucking,
Yeah.
spills and stuff in those areas that
Well,
were.
did you the one in actually in Pennsylvania, right? That there was a net, but what is it called? It's the same name as a country. Anyways, there was a movie on Netflix. Literally, that came out like 3 months before the train derailment. That was literally the storyline, was the trail derailment, the train derailment in that town, with the consequences being what they were, because evidently the elites, in order to proceed with these terrible things that they do to us, if they tell us beforehand in some way, and we don't object, that means that we are complying.
And yeah, put it in the fucking, funny movie, man. I don't know if it was a funny movie, but it's still, any movie's a funny
Well,
movie.
and Netflix, I saw something online, and it's hard to know, obviously, like I could be fooled. Someone could put something together and convince me of really most things these days, because so much of what I've known to be true hasn't been. But where was I? I've been hitting the head
Well,
too many
about
times.
Netflix with the
Oh yes, and that Netflix
spill.
is that whoever started Netflix is a descendant of Freud, Sigmund Freud, who, as much as he contributed to psychology and our understanding of ourselves and each other, that he was a pedophile, and that the family were pedophiles, and it and all and then somewhere along the way, basically that they're responsible for a lot of the propaganda, or even just the whole idea of propaganda. And so basically Netflix is spawned out of big, and you know how much like the Obamas own of Netflix. The Obamas have like quite a bit of
Right.
the shares of Netflix.
And so they produced a movie, I believe, recently. I forgot what it was called, that has someone crashing into that Baltimore bridge, like a ship
Of
crashing in.
course they did. Of
Yeah.
course they did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I just saw something on that like
Holy
a few
shit.
days ago. 'Cause, yeah, I was getting like all the fucking news and stuff. I don't know, like, it's weird, like on TikTok, the news and shit like that I get around here.
Yeah.
Whether it's Philadelphia or, DC or not really DC, but I guess Baltimore was close. It was weird, man, like the Philly, I got on to Philly sports TikTok, man. That was some crazy shit. Those Philadelphia fans are fucking wild,
Really?
dude. Yeah, they're pretty fun to watch. But yeah, I don't know, dude, like,
Well, give them bread and circuses.
yeah.
Is that what the line is? Because people are so, for me, I've never gotten super into professional sports. I guess I was a bit of a hockey fan when I was a kid, but I don't have the emotional investment. Whereas pro wrestling, there's a reason to love and hate the different wrestlers, and so that's why I would be cheering for one over the other. But I don't, besides of course, like cheering for the team from your city, which
Yeah.
has players from all over the place, but they represent your city. So, and I get it, it's a good time and community and everyone, we're all rooting for the home team, but people really are, they it's very effective. They could be quite distracted by professional sports, and then like look what they did with the Super Bowl this year with Taylor Swift and the and
Oh,
all that.
yeah.
Like that was that there that's they say it's a work. They say that
I mean, it has to be, and I mean, that has the best outcome for everything, and that's going to get people. That's bringing in a whole new crowd of people that are wouldn't give a fuck about football otherwise, but now they're like, I want to watch football to see what Taylor Swift is doing.
That was, and the fact that people didn't see through that, I'm just like, really? Are you guys, you're really talking about it? Like dudes at the bar, like dudes, like working class dudes. I'm like, you're talking about Taylor Swift right now. Like
Right.
it was, it's crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, fucking working class people talking about Taylor Swift is a wild fucking thing that who would have thought that up? Like, I don't
And
know.
did
It's
you
just good
see,
booking, I guess.
did we have no great booking, and that it's a nice segue into the tweet that Biden sent the day after the Super Bowl. It was so weird, dude. And you'd swear that it was somebody got a hold of the account and hacked it, but it's not the case. Like it's from Biden's account, and it's him, and he's got these bright red eyes, like red, like lights, like red, like you'd like on like from like a police car, kind of like or like there was a red like alarm circle, and red in his eyes, and then it said just like we planned it, or it's as if or. It was something about like it's as if we planned the whole thing, like, and that came from his account. Like it was crazy.
And I mean, yeah, it's it because wasn't the guy who was the quarterback, or is she dating the quarterback or
Yeah, I think so.
something? Well, someone on the team. But then wasn't he a big proponent of
Mr.
getting
Pfizer.
Mr. F yeah, the Pfizer stuff, which is very a good thing to have pushed by. I mean, that's gonna, I mean, I assume most people that listen to Taylor Swift were, I don't know. I would say we're probably easier to get.
If I'm just saying, if Taylor Swift's boyfriend is getting the job, so
Yeah.
am
That's what it's
I.
gotta be. And it's fucking wild, man. It's like that became that big of like, I don't know, because if he would have got, I don't know, runner up, you don't get anything for being runner up or Super Bowl or
No,
whatever you would
no.
call it, they'll lose the Super Bowl. But
Dude, there was even dude that the, I don't like I don't watch, like I said, I wasn't watching, and but I was out with my girlfriend, and it was the night I was indulging and eating what I wanted to eat, and so we stopped to get some fried chicken at Popeyes, and I didn't know Popeyes had TVs in their restaurants,
I
but there
didn't
was
either.
one. No, there's this one TV in Popeyes, and of course they had the Super Bowl on, and so it's in the last couple of minutes, and I just happened to be in there, and so I stopped. I'm looking at it, and there was even like this like crazy false finish. Like the play that was like right before the end of the game, where I was like, it was just it was I like it was clearly booked. Like it was It was clearly going how they wanted it to go. And I'm just like standing there in the pub. I was looking at this and just think, everybody's getting worked by this.
Right. And like, and there's betting on it. There's a lot of betting on it. And you gotta, I assume the people who bet, or who run those betting places or whatever they are, betting sites or, I'm sure they probably have a little bit of input of what's going on and to try to keep their money. And I mean, they're the biggest sponsor, or one of the biggest sponsors, I think, of the NFL is like, DraftKings, same with like the MMA, a lot of them, but like the biggest, and I guess WWE too, like is people bet on WWE, and it's kind of crazy.
It is.
Like how can that work? How far removed do you have to be able to place bets for wrestling before
Like
people start
something that
catching
is,
on?
it's an admitted work.
Right. And
And
you can bet on it. You can bet on fucking anything about it. You can bet on either, who's going over, who's not, who's gonna come out first, or or how's it gonna end, or I don't
that's a
know,
good call.
but
It's how far removed from the WWE creative team do you have to be in order to bet?
right. Like, could you be, I don't know, like someone's like, oh, okay, that's just whoever, the head writer's fucking neighbor down the street. Like, okay, that I recognize that address, and like, okay, that could be him telling him something, but or if it's like a family member, a cousin or something, or I don't know, man. Like, figure there could be some money to make there for someone, whoever is on
Of
that cusp
course.
of that.
I've
It's like, yeah, that would
I'm
be good.
I'm gonna check my sources. I'm gonna see if I can get in good with the WWE creative team and make some money.
Yeah, I mean, you just gotta push Pfizer, man. You're set, man. Then you got that backing then too. That's probably a nice little chunk of change in your pocket. And
Next thing you know, you're dating the biggest pop star in America.
right, yeah. I don't, man, like it's
And
really
voting Biden.
right. Make sure you do. Make sure you're at that fucking that ballot booth, or I guess it's still doing it in some places.
Well, that being
Have you ever, there you go. All right.
we
Have you
go.
ever, do they do it like for voting? Do you have to have a ballot or whatever? Is that a
Well,
thing
no,
there?
I think to make sure that the election can properly be fixed this year, that they've made sure that there's mail-in ballots in Canada as well, so
Oh,
that
shit.
our fearless leader Trudeau can keep his spot. And I'm not actually, I should be careful with what I say, because I with Canada's speech laws, I
Your
think
speech laws.
if I was to suggest that Trudeau is actually Fidel Castro's son, not Pierre Trudeau's son, that I might be in trouble. If I was to say that to you, if I was to say that I think that Justin Trudeau's father is actually Fidel Castro, I might be in trouble. But I would never ever suggest that.
Yeah, they
And nobody should look online at
right.
pictures of Justin Trudeau and Fidel Castro side by side and see if they look alike at all. Nobody should do that. And also, nobody should look for the picture where Fidel Castro is holding young Justin Trudeau beside Justin Trudeau's mom and then Pierre Trudeau off to the side. And also, nobody should look up anything to do with the weekend that Justin's mom spent with Fidel Castro. There's some sort of story out there about that. So nobody should do that because, and nobody should suggest that on any podcast, because I'm certainly not suggesting that on any sort of podcast right now. I would never do that.
Right. And just like what people may do, like, maybe if you wanted to, but
Yeah.
not suggesting it, just
No,
saying.
and I'm not by any means saying that
Yeah.
those things are true.
Right. But what can I, as an American, say? I, as American, I guess, could say kind of whatever. I could tell you, I guess, but this shit's fucking crazy, man. Like, it's, I don't know, some of those things, like, you just look at them and you're like, okay, well, I don't know. If I were to talk like you were saying, I could see, if someone were to look up, they could see some similarities in some of those instances of some of the pictures and some of the timelines. And yeah, and the fact that you guys never had a fucking time where you couldn't go down there, which, I don't know, that's always one of those things, like, you can't go there. That's always like, hey, man, I want to go there, man. Like, now I want
Yeah.
to, because I can't, but like, no, you can go there whenever you want, man. You can just
Yeah.
go down to fucking Cuba, man, and like do that. Like, I'm going to Cuba. I don't know. You get Cuban cigars
I've
if you
heard good
wanted
things
to.
about I've heard good things about Cuba.
Yeah, I mean, it
I
seems
heard
like
it's
it
a
would
good
be
time.
an interesting spot. And
I'm not very good at smoking cigars though. My friend Bobby would attest to that. He had a couple of cigars. I'm not sure if they were Cuban, but he attempted to smoke a cigar with me, and I've smoked my share of the electric lettuce and all that, but
yeah.
the cigar wasn't my thing.
It's kind of weird. I never got into it. I tried it probably two or three times, and I don't think I got through more than a few puffs on each one. And then
No,
they just said, here, you can have it.
I think Bobby was offended because I didn't finish the cigar.
Yeah. And I mean, I smoked cigarettes for years and years and years, but like a cigar was just fucking weird, man. Like, I didn't, I don't know. I didn't, I never got the appeal of it. And I'm it's one of those things too, but this, like, the how it's so socially acceptable to smoke cigars, but then cigarettes, it's very much deemed whatever, like, kind of
Well,
like wine and malt liquor.
I wouldn't I wouldn't know a good scotch from a bad one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know a good whiskey from a bad one.
Me neither. It's, I don't know if there is a difference.
Perhaps you're not cultured enough.
Yeah, not, I'm not cultured enough to be able to sniff out a good whiskey of sorts,
That's right.
and or scotch,
Well, right
and
there, I think that
but
was
it,
like a brandy. It would be
yeah.
a brandy snifter.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, yeah, even a little off. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know, not something that I was into. Yeah, the wine thing was too weird. Like, that was some fucking crazy shit. Like, watching that, like, how much people would spend on bottles of wine or something, when it's like the
Yeah.
same
Or
thing. Like,
when you go to the wine tastings, you're supposed to put it in your mouth and swish it and then spit it out.
yeah,
No, drink that shit.
right.
Just
It's,
drink it.
yeah.
And
Wow, like,
swallowing is part of the process for me.
right. And
Well, that sounded
yeah,
terrible.
but
Not
yeah,
intentional.
Yeah, man, going to a winery is a fucking trip too. That's a wild place.
Yeah, I haven't done a wine tour. But it might be fun, but I'm gonna be swallowing the wine, not spitting it out.
It's I was gonna go towards some Catholic thing, but then like as well, it's just gonna be the same fucking joke, man. But dude, that was always a trip being a fucking kid and going up there and drinking fucking wine every Sunday and
Is that what you did? My best friend since we were 5, Patrick, he was raised a good Catholic boy and took communion every Sunday and so on, and had you told me about confession and all that. It was all foreign to me. I had no religious influence as a kid.
Oh man, yeah, dude, it's wild, man. That's something like I had to go pretty much not every Sunday, but most every Sunday, and then yeah, have to do like the whatever it's called, the whatever you just wait,
Communion.
confession, yeah, confession, and then communion. And so I'd have to go to classes before that, and then once I got into like middle school and close to high school, I didn't have a car yet. My mom had to drive me. She would drive me to the church because you, after at some age, you have to get confirmed Catholic when sometime when you're like in maybe high school or something, somewhere in there, maybe middle school.
Need
And
confirmation.
yeah, you need like, you're going to be sticking in here. And so my mom would drop me off, and then I would, as soon as she'd leave, I'd fucking walk out the back and like walk over to the store, like that was like a half mile away. And then walk back at the end and be like, oh
That's
yeah,
great.
I'm done. And then yeah, the guy leading it smart my mom up to that, and then I got in a lot of trouble,
I guess so.
and then after that, then I never had to go to church again after that, which was nice.
How that worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. It just took a little bit of getting in trouble, and sometimes that's what it's about. Sometimes you got to get in a little bit of trouble to have it work out. And like, it's not always bad. Not always bad to get in trouble. So
Well, yeah,
that's
you know
what I
what?
believe
And
in.
credit to my mom for she figured out what was going to keep me on the straight and narrow. I got in trouble once, and as punishment, she took away all of my wrestling figures, my wrestling magazines, all everything wrestling. And I wasn't allowed to watch it for several weeks. And yeah, and I knew after that if I was to get into trouble, that that's what would happen. And it's because of that I did not take very big risks as a teenager while I still lived at home with anything really. With breaking the law, with anything is I would get my wrestling stuff taken away. And I wasn't gonna let that
Smart.
happen again. Yeah.
Pretty good way to do it.
It worked, man. I'm thankful, because if I had gotten in trouble, then I might be sitting here just a wrestling fan rather than, done the things I've done.
And I mean, yeah, that I don't know, man. It's weird how we got here to that point, like where that's stuff that we've done. I don't know, man. Like, yeah, fucking, it's cool, man. It's pretty fucking cool. Like,
It's cool too, like even just I've often said, like I didn't achieve everything that I set out to in wrestling, but I achieved a lot of things that I didn't know that I wanted, and experienced a lot of things that I wasn't even aiming at. And but now, like, I'm not saying that wouldn't be enjoyable to work for World Wrestling Entertainment. I know that it would, but just even if I was required to get the jab or something to keep my job there, like, w would I have done it? I don't think so. But to be a part of a company like that that's now, owned by the same, it's like UFC and WWE, and they're all in the same entertainment group, and they're probably, is WWE going to be on Netflix now, they're saying?
Yeah, and yes, owned by the guy from Entourage.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
do you watch Entourage at all, that show?
I did. I didn't. I know. I know, but I
Okay.
know what it was based. It was based on Mark Wahlberg's life and his agent and all that, right?
Yeah, so his agent is the guy
R
that
R Ari.
yeah. So Ari is Ari that owns fucking TKO.
Okay.
Yeah, so the guy who is Mark Wahlberg's, Marky Mark's fucking agent,
Yeah.
owns WWE now and
Wow.
UFC.
And then The Rock is a big part of everything too, right?
Right, I think so. Which is kind of wild, but
I
I
do
mean,
I do enjoy that they're making that part of the storyline going into WrestleMania. Credit where credit's due. Like the
yeah.
whole blurring the lines, where I mean, that's what we always want as wrestling fans, right? Is to wonder, okay, but is this part legit? Like
Yeah.
that's the thing when I was a kid and Macho Man Randy Savage was feuding with Jake the Snake Roberts, is with Jake as a heel, and Savage is tied up in the ropes, and Jake gets out the Cobra and puts it on Savage's arm. And you watched as a kid, you watched those fangs go in, and you're like, it's really biting him. Like, this is insane. Like, there's blood. Like, it was, and you hear the story about it, from Jake on how it went beforehand and all that. But it's like, it was so good for the credibility at the time where it's like, all right, Dad, you may say it's fake, but look at that.
Yeah, that's
That
not
part's
fake.
real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great that, like, I mean, that's something from, whatever, probably almost 35 years ago. And
Yeah.
like, it's still something that was so, like, such a fucking moment, just being able to
Yeah.
have that, man. Like,
Yeah.
and yeah, it's still like, I don't know, even like with what Jake said, I mean, it's still kind of real, I guess, man.
Yeah,
Like,
man. Yeah. Yeah.
it's like, no, it's not full. Well, okay, yeah, I guess it kind of is real, man. It seemed like
Yeah,
it
and
was kind of
it's
a
Savage
shit.
didn't trust him. Savage is like, oh, it's gotta bite you first.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah.
oh, yeah, fucking bit me. Sure, man. Yeah, I already did it. Like, and man, like, I don't know, man. So, like, Jake's stuff is wild, like his stories. He's got probably some of the craziest stories of.
Dude, I had the pleasure of meeting him as both a fan and a wrestler. As a fan, it was 1995 or 96, maybe. It was right before he came back.
Austin. Okay.
Yeah, right before all the stuff with Austin. And he was doing the religious tours, like the church tours kind of thing. And so you
Okay.
go see Jake the Snake Roberts talk for an hour about his story. And you get to meet Jake Roberts. So I went and listened to the story, and that was actually too, that was actually the moment I knew that I didn't have a God belief. And I mean, at this point I'm not so sure about anything. I don't really write off anything these days. Like I have trouble saying that I'm absolutely sure about anything because I've been so wrong about so many important things. But it was the end of Jake's talk, and he said, if you feel you want to accept the Holy Spirit, come up here and kneel before here and accept the Holy Spirit into your life and all that sort of deal. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I guess I was 17, and I'm like thinking, I want to go up there because it's Jake the Snake Roberts, but I don't actually feel that. Like, I don't, and it was like I guess a moment of clarity for me where I was like, no, if I'm going up there, I'm only doing it because Jake the Snake Roberts is telling me to, and I didn't want to do it like that. And then I went up and I got my poster signed, and I said, I want to be a wrestler too. And I said, I hope you be a wrestler too. He says, I hope you don't. You could do better things with your life. I was like, oh. And then not fucking 2, 3 months later, announced for the Royal Rumble, the returning Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you just told me I could do better things with my life, and then you returned. But it didn't really affect, like, I believe he had good intentions, and I don't look at him, any less because of it. And then I met him in Vegas once at one of the cauliflower alleys, and then when he was doing his last, telling stories, traveling around, he did a stand-up comedy club here locally, and then we arranged something with as ECCW, or we arranged something with him afterward where he gave like a private seminar to ECCW in that night as well. And so that was really cool. And he'd got me to come up there with him, and he was just, because we weren't in a wrestling ring or anything, but he was just showing how he would do his punches, and he was using me, and it was like I said, like with the Roddy Piper thing, it's one of those moments where you're just like, holy shit, like life is cool. It was surreal,
His punches are fucking great, man.
yeah.
He did a seminar down in Salem,
Yeah.
and I went to that dude, and it was him and Gangrel, which was an interesting
Yeah.
combination.
But that's too hard. Like a Gangrel, a hard worker, that guy really gives it his all, whether it is 300 people or 30,000.
And I mean, I remember if the whole thing was fucking Jake's fucking punches. I
Yeah.
always I look at those and I mean, he's got it's I don't know. I don't know who does it as well as he does,
Yeah, good
which
call.
is I don't know if that's
Yeah.
the most common answer for good punches that are someone's known for. Anything is
I
a really
think
good punch.
it's Scott Hall would be up there too.
I'd say so.
Bret Hart's were pretty good. Yeah.
And so I don't know if we talked about this last time. So did we talk about Mad Rats last time, or was I talking? I might have been talking with someone else.
I don't know, but Matt Ratz was really cool. We might have talked about it, yeah.
Okay, because I talked with somebody else about Matt Rats, but yeah, dude.
It was ahead of its time. That's where I actually Natalia recently tweeted about she there was a poster. My buddy Mercury, we actually, it was when we were taking everything down at the Mac Mansion, and there was an old Supergirls poster that had a card with Natalia and Becky Lynch on it, and they're on the poster. And so Mercury sent Natalia a photo of the poster, and then Natalia tweeted it out, and basically said, included Becky in the tweet, and said, oh, we've known each other over 20 years or whatever it was, and thank me for providing the picture or whatever. So, but it was, I met her at Mat Rats, and both her and TJ were working for Mat Rats, and then Harry Smith, Teddy Hart, Rene Dupree, my buddy, Superfly Dan, and Eric Bischoff was involved, and Jason Hervey, his Bishop from Wonder Years. Yeah.
So, I mean, how did that fucking, I don't know, like how does that fucking factor into everything? Because I mean, that was, very beginning of, you couldn't have been in that long when that came out.
No, I was only a year or two in, and I thought I was going to be a television star, right? Like, because it was, there's high production value, and they were, it was, bef it was, they were using wrestlers that were either teenagers or looked like teenagers, and they were looking for the Saturday morning audience, and they wanted high flying and acrobatics, and which, so much of wrestling is today, like, all the high spots and so on. It was really ahead of its time, Matt Ratz. And credit to Teddy Hart and the other guys involved when they came up with it. Like, being tied to the Hart family gave it some legitimacy right off the bat, and then whoever was had the money who was putting a decent amount of money into it, and then Bischoff wasn't with WCW at the time, and so they got Bischoff involved, and it really seemed like it could have been something, but it was there was something going on in the office where one of the guys with the money ended up in jail,
Oh, okay.
and then
Yeah.
that was it.
And then that was okay.
Yeah.
And was that in Calgary? Or was
Yeah, I was in
that?
Calgary, and there was Mauro Ranallo was from Abbotsford, and he knew Matt Ratz was going on in Calgary, and he was going to be doing commentary for it. And then he saw me on the ECW show, and then he suggested me to Matt Ratz, and that's how I got the chance at Matt Ratz.
And so, were you living out there in Calgary, or you just go out there just
No, I
every?
just went out there, but Teddy had suggested that I move there and train with them, but it would have involved giving Teddy money, and I'm not saying that, I shouldn't have, but I was already paying ECCW for training, and or I'd already paid ECCW for training, and I kind of saw it as him trying to work me for more money. But then again, I mean, who knows how it would have gone if I did, like, the right people were there. But it's one of those things where I'm not gonna regret anything. We all have our paths that we choose and the choices we make, and we live with those choices, and I'm happy where I'm at, so I wouldn't really do anything different.
And I mean, you had that, the time there, and got to do fucking something kind of weird and out there, like that not a
Yeah,
lot of
it
people
was a
would
good
say they would
match
have been
too.
in.
It was me and Dave the Rave Swift against Edward G. O'Ryan and Apocalypse, who ended up one of the half of the tag team in WWE. I'm blanking on their names right now. WWE. But it was great tag team match. Really proud of it.
So you only have one match there?
Yeah, it was, we shot the pilot, and
Oh,
like
shit.
I was there for a couple of weeks, but we just had the one pilot, like, that we shot.
Oh, I thought that it went longer than just a pilot. Okay.
No, there was some of the local guys, they were taping with longer, like more, there was more content,
Yeah.
but what I was flown out there for was the pilot that they were trying to sell to get this show.
Shit. And then so where'd you find out then that that was kind of the end? How'd you find that out? How'd that happen?
I don't recall, but
Okay.
it was But somebody, yeah, it was somebody let me know that one of the dudes, that there's something going on. It had nothing to do with the wrestling, bottom line. We provided what we needed to. We did it right.
Yeah.
But there was just this shady business dealings from what I understand.
Which, can happen. Can happen every so often.
You know what? We need to try to get a dark side of the ring on Matt Rath.
Man, that would actually be pretty cool. I mean, there's
Yeah.
I don't know. I figure everyone's still kind of around, right? For
Yeah.
everyone
Yeah.
that was part of it,
Yeah.
including production. Yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting one there, because there's, I mean, a lot of different stories with that one, a lot of different.
Yeah, you can go the Teddy route or like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Did
I know.
Oh, go ahead.
And Hannibal, that Devin Hannibal,
Oh, yeah.
and the whole thing with, he had the controversy with Abdullah the Butcher,
Yeah.
and the hepatitis thing where he got awarded like $1 million or something because he said that it cost him his WWE deal or whatever.
Right.
But Devin Nicholson, that's the name. He was a part of Matt Rat's. I remember he had lost his best friend that week too, somehow. And I met Rene Dupree. He was only like 18. He already looked like fucking real life Superman. It was crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, dude, that's a fucking crazy, like, 25 years later, or whatever, 20, 25 years later, that's a fucking crazy crew of people. Like, that would they all, and everyone kind of has their story. And then, I mean, are you, I don't know, you talk to any of them? Like, is that's a kind of
Just
dumb question, but.
TJ Wilson is such a good dude. Like he's still like he'll send a happy birthday message or whatever. And
Pretty cool.
my buddy Dan, we're still very good friends. And Teddy, I haven't talked to in a long time. Natalia and I are friendly, and I think that would probably be the extent of it.
Yeah. And I mean, just to get, everyone kind of together and it kind of
Yeah.
figure out what was going on with it and
Yeah.
everyone else, because I'm sure everyone kind of remembers everything a little differently than
Well, I think I've got an email to write to Dark Side of the Ring.
yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Some of those have been, what was I watching? I was watching one the other week, and I don't know what it was, whoever it was. But I don't know. There's been some wild shit. And then, like, yeah, then there's just that thing with, in Oregon with Billy Jack Haynes. That was like going back to the Hannibal thing with all, there was those interviews with Billy Jack Haynes, and those were, I watched those, but yeah, like, I don't know. There's been some shit. Like, it'd be interesting, because then it's Vice that does the dark side, right?
I don't like that. I really, it sucks because loving wrestling to have so much exposed that, and I'm not saying I want to keep all these secrets, but it really a lot of our what were our heroes are really can be put in a bad light on these shows, and it's unfortunate. It's like kind of like we're celebrating the negatives in a sense, because that's why people are tuning in. Like it's kind of like how people watch NASCAR for the car crashes, like,
Right.
but that's I guess human nature, right?
Yeah. But at least people can hopefully learn from stuff, and
Yeah.
if it's that, at least that way to look at it. But yeah, there's some fucking, some of those have been pretty hard to watch, but
Yeah.
what you gonna, I mean, it's history, and people are gonna tell their stories, and
Let's get a Mat Rats one done.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he got that's what I was gonna ask you about. The so in the garage, you were saying that you had the poster, the Supergirls poster. Did so
Yeah, there were the
how long did that take to take everything off of the walls in the garage? How
Well,
hard
I
was
had
that?
not as hard as it would have been if I didn't take most of them down previously after ECCW, the controversy with ECCW, and I really felt like so many turned their back on me and weren't there for me. And I'm not saying I'm not over it right now. I'm doing just fine, but at the time it was difficult. There was a lot of feelings of betrayal, so I took down all the posters of everybody that I didn't want to look at when I was sitting in there. You know, we say the garage, but we called it the reindeer room. We had some couches in
Okay.
there, and it's where we would, you know, you chilled in there, and we'd often chill in there after wrestling shows, and we had the TV and we watched shows, and they were wall it was wallpapered in ECCW posters, so it's just every, you know, everything we had done in a sense. But I took it down to probably maybe 30 or 40 posters with only people that I think of fondly when I look at. And so when I took those down, it was okay because it was, you know, it was part of the way done. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. 'Cause that was a hard, I mean, relative, like for me. It was a fucking weird time with all that shit. Like that fucking, it's, I don't know. There was a lot of, yeah, people kind of showing who they were and
Yeah. And just people, I've said this before, like people, I if the roles were reversed, I would have been like, no, that's a good dude. You know, that's the but
yeah.
so few people had the balls to nobody wanted to risk the anything being pointed at them.
Right.
So
And I don't know, man. If I can, it got, it was, I don't know, it was fucking shitty. Like there was so much of it just, I couldn't, I don't know, I couldn't believe most of it. Like
yeah.
what was happening, like, and just watching it and, like, fuck this, this is, I don't know, 'cause yeah, like, I feel like I lost a lot of people in that shuffle during that time, man.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of people who, yeah, didn't want to, you know, associate with me after that, and like not after that, but like at that same kind of time. And
Yeah. Well, so much was going on, and so much
yeah.
was being, everyone knew, everyone started to know where everybody stood on everything.
Right. And that was a big problem.
Yeah.
That it was stuff that shouldn't matter. There's, it became this thing of there's two things we disagree on, but there's 98 things that we agree on. My line is drawn. Fuck you if these two things, like,
Yeah.
that's two things that I cannot deal with. And like, yeah, we're agree to disagree became gone for the
Yeah.
most part. And
Yeah.
I don't know, it was just, I don't know, I don't feel, I don't know, I don't feel bad about where it went for
No,
some
I
parts,
don't.
but like,
No, you know what, man? There is nobody that is missing that from my life that shouldn't be missing.
right.
You know, I've got everybody I need. I've got everybody I want, and everyone that knows me, then that really knows me. They didn't doubt me,
Yeah.
and so I'm happy with where I'm at, and the future looks bright. Whether it's another week or another few decades, the future looks bright.
Yeah. Cool. So if you got, I mean, 6 days, I mean, we got to fucking get moving on this stuff. So like, I won't hold you up anymore. I went longer than I expected, and thanks
Hey,
for
it
hanging
was
out.
there.
I
It was there.
appreciate that.
I appreciate you. I love these.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm glad we got to do this again.
Yeah.
And yeah, hopefully we can in less of a amount of time than it was between
Let's
this last
please
one.
let's do it, and let's
Okay.
focus on let's do some Saved by the Bell stuff next time.
Cool. No, I'm down with that. I think we should definitely get some Saved by the Bell stuff.
I want you to
Just
come over to my basement.
yeah.
Oh,
Dude, oh man. It's yeah. Saved by the Bell, like we'll do that shit. Cool. Thanks for being on, man. I appreciate everything,
for
and
sure.
we'll get you back here soon, and
Right
we'll
on.
cool.
Thank you, bro. I'm back.
Hopefully we'll see you after 6 days, but maybe we
Yeah,
won't. So if we
hopefully.
did, it was good, really good knowing you, man.
That's
But
100%. And enjoy your last week, my friend.
you too. All right, take care, buddy.
We'll talk soon.
All right, that's Scotty Mac, man. Fucking good guy, man. Hopefully there's more than 6 more days left. So if there is, man, then yeah, maybe things will be going down. But either way, man, be happy. Fuck with the people you fuck with, and fuck the people who don't fuck with you. Ain't worth it, man. You don't need to like give them any fucking bad hate or anything. Just let them go. They're fine. They're doing their own shit. You're doing your shit. They're probably happy. You're probably happy. Cool, man, right? Boom. Thank you, everyone, for being here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. Check me out at rustydiamond.net. Check out Scotty Mac. I'll put his links in the show notes and shit. So thank you. And that is the show, man. Boom.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.